Welcome to TMM's Better Business Podcast Series. Each month we catch up with a leader in the mortgage industry to bring you insights into what is happening in the New Zealand market. I'm Philip McAllister, the publisher of TMM, and I'll be presenting each podcast. Each podcast will run for between 15 and 20 minutes each. They're designed to give you new ideas to help you with your business and to help with your professional development. They add to our current suite of products, which include TMM Magazine, TMMonline.nz, and the TMM Better Business Conference. Today, joining me is Hamish Patel from Mortgages Online, our first mortgage advisor to take part in the podcast series. Welcome, Hamish. How are you?
Oh, quite good, Phil. Good to be number one at something.
Yeah. Oh, good on you. You deserve it. Tell me, talking about number one, we're a year into the new financial advice licensing regime. How have you found it, and what have been some of your key learnings?
Look, the good thing is our industry's matured. A lot of the technology that's around makes it doable. You know, when obviously approaching the regulation early on, it was like, well, you know, where is this going to end? But I think overall, it's actually been pretty good. I think we've got a handle on things. Hate to say it, but some things, maybe the consumer is getting a better service overall from the industry, I think, as much as I'd hate to admit it. And I think we did things the correct way in the past, but I think we're definitely doing it much better now.
And key learnings, how much did you have to change your business?
Look, over the last few years, as we were approaching it quite a bit, so a few things are very structured in some sense. Disclosure, of course, is there. So how we run our initial meeting, how we record our notes. It's not as hard as it seems. We use a lot of audio notes, and I think that's been my savior. And of course, now with AI, you can get transcriptions pretty much done quickly as well. And how we structure, you know, how we give advice around the structure of the home loan and how we record the advice and what we disclose to the clients. Again, all of that has been better. The process has been bettered and nicer.
And have you had a monitoring visit from the FMA?
No, but I have heard that the monitoring visits, I have heard from someone who has lately, and kind of a lighter version of the monitoring visits that also happen, because I believe there are ones that get instigated from complaints, but then there are ones that are randomly done, which I believe there's a lighter version of one where they're a bit shorter, sharper to the point, and a lot of it is focused on the evidence of you following the process that you have made for yourself, right? So there's no judgment on what the solution was and should it have been the right solution. It's not that so much as it is, have you followed the processes to make sure that the principle of the whole thing is in the consumer's interest, you know?
Mm. No, I understand there's quite a few being done, and I think one of the big groups has already been or is going through an audit at the moment. You mentioned before, you know, you've used technology in your business and you've been quite big on that in the past. Where do you see AI fitting into a mortgage advice business, and what do you use around AI?
So what I've seen is that, I mean, look, it's making our jobs way easier. Will we be replaced by AI? Somewhat, I reckon, in the long run. But if I look back as well, like what we used to do 10 years ago, 15 years ago as mortgage advisors, and to what we do now, it is completely different. So technology has always kind of moved the bar along. And what it's done is that I've realized that there's some things that AI will never replace, right? Over time, I've realized a lot of my clients, what they want is human reassurance. And in some sense, a human witness. So some of my clients that have been with me for a long time, they actually just want someone to say, hey, you're doing well. They need a human to do that. It's like the horse and cart thing. I always kind of go back to that. So you imagine when the horse and cart, you know, when motor vehicles came out, everybody was like, geez, you know, we're going to lose, the horse trainer's going to lose their job. The guy who produces the wooden wheels or whatever is going to lose his job. I don't know if they were wooden back then, but you remember rubber wheels and horse and cart? Anyway, what happened after that, though, is that there's probably way more jobs in the motor vehicle industry now, right? And the add-ons, there's another whole... So what happens is desirability and expectations go up. Humans have no limit to what they would like to, what they would like, right? So, you know, when you were in horse and carts, you wouldn't think that you needed mags or you needed, you know, a voice activated Spotify on your, right? You didn't think you needed those, but actually now we can't. That's like a bare minimum now. I was getting to that point. So I think you got to think about what is it that your clients really enjoy, and try and imagine what more you could add to the experience. But we use it a lot. We use it for obviously audio transcription, but even moving data from one PDF form to another, because we don't, we've all asked for standardized forms from the banks. It probably will never happen. But
no, that's one of the things which is long overdue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, AI will probably look up. Well, there's some stuff out there that's already kind of doing that. Searching for information, right? Bank manuals, PDF, the latest Adobe PDF as well. Like, you do a little search box on the top. You can actually ask it a question and it will try and that kind of technology will get better. So it'll be like, okay, who uses Border Income? How much is the top Border Income? Run that through four PDFs, each bank, or five PDFs, all bank criteria, suddenly pops out the answer, right? So it's in its infancy somewhat right now, but that's going to change over the next 6 months.
It's interesting. I was at a conference yesterday and this American fund manager lady was saying, you know, often we think that technology is going to make people lose their jobs, but in reality, technology creates jobs. And you know, probably the best example is the internet. You know, the internet and it's, you know, it's spawned millions and millions of jobs. So, you know, and it hasn't given us any more. Well, it hasn't given me any more free time. Yeah,
yeah. People just want more, right? Like these podcasts. Like you're starting on this venture.
Exactly.
It's going to be, you know, there's probably a whole bunch of other stuff you can pull out of these one day.
And sort of coming back to sort of industry issues and what's going on at the moment, obviously the big news in the last week or so has been the Commerce Commission's report on banks and their total lack of understanding around what mortgage advisors do and how the sector operates. What's your take on that and how involved are you in sort of trying to get them to understand things better?
Yeah, so look, right now, as of the date of this recording, they're open for submissions, right, as well, the Commerce Commission. So I implore anyone to jump on Commerce Commission report on personal banking competitiveness and make your submission. I actually think that, look, there's a lot of stuff in there. Some of it is actually very pro-broker. Okay, so the focus we have had, of course, we focus on our how we get paid, how we earn a living, which I think is still a great model. It allows for access to advice, quality advice to the greatest number of people, usually at no obligation, right? There's a lot of stuff we do in the community that we do not lock clients to paying us for, right? Or using us for. The current model allows for a lot of innovation, a lot of things that we've seen today, the technology and stuff is there because of how things are structured. I think the Commerce Commission, it is interesting though, when you read that and you think, oh, hold on, are they talking to the FMA at all? Like you'd think they might pick up the phone and talk to, you know, like one arm might talk to the other arm. I mean, that's a feeling I kind of got a little bit, is that, or maybe parts of it was written very early on, or maybe the phone lines were broken or something. I don't understand it, actually. I think there's probably a lot of fine-tuning that can happen in that.
And I understand, you know, at the time of this recording, that there's a group of people who are going down to talk to the Commerce Commission and get them on the straight and narrow around this. Are you part of that, or?
I think I have put my name up. I can be part of that. I'm definitely going to make a submission, obviously, and I do run a kind of a broker chat group, kind of advisor chat group, I should say, once a month. So I have been kind of pulling us together on that and making everybody aware of what's obviously there. I think that, yeah, I definitely am going to be part of the discussions. And
so you did one of your broker chat groups recently. So what were the burning issues for fellow advisors at the moment? What are they talking about?
So look, a couple of things came up in that, right? So clawback, and the Commerce Commission actually, to be fair to them, they did actually talk about clawbacks and how it could be a little bit nicer, I guess. There was also a feeling that, hold on, we've gone to all this effort. There's been all this regulation that's been thrust upon us that we've also helped shape a little bit, somewhat as an industry. You know, we've done a lot of work in it as an industry. And it does feel a little like that has been ignored. And I think there was a little bit of, I wouldn't say anger, but really a kind of a disappointment in that chat group that some of that hasn't really been noticed, especially when you think about commission disclosure. We had huge part of that, really, that we've changed how we operate. When you think about what's in the best interest of the client, there's a huge amount of records we keep. You know, the justifications of how we recommend products and the structures. And another thing that I think has been largely missed is that in our industry, we don't get to always pick the bank. We are also doing another whole job of actually trying to match the consumer demand with the lender's appetite. So one month, this bank is doing this type of client more than the other bank. We have to quickly pivot, and because ultimately the client needs a home, right? Or sometimes they need to restructure things for their retirement. They need to move forward with a renovation. There's other things going on, and often there's a whole other aspect to this, which we also get involved with, which is giving the client confidence to represent themselves, being an advocate for the client, right? And I think that kind of gets missed a little bit through this. We're not just sitting there and saying, look, what is the absolute cheapest? Because it's not about that. If you look at the growth that Kiwi Bank have had recently, now, from my understanding, they don't pay, if anything, that definitely don't pay anywhere near the top in terms of commissions, right? But they have had an amazing growth right at the time when they have opened up to brokers more in the last 12 months. And they've got a lion's share of growth in terms of market share. So I think that alone is a really good bit of data that we should probably look a little bit deeper into, you know?
And other industry issues which brokers are talking about or advisors are talking about?
Obviously, like, the market is very interesting right now, the housing market, the interest rates. I'm kind of glad to say that I think as an advisor community, it feels like we're over the hurdle, right? We're not having the conversations around fixed rates popping up. I think that's kind of behind us now. And now we're getting to less counseling and more getting back to business, less regulation and more getting back to business and helping our clients move forward. I think that's going to be the feature this year.
Yes, and I it seems to me that, you know, a lot of that disruptive sort of regulatory change and you know, the speed of the interest rate rises, you know, took people by surprise. We seem to be over that hump now, and it's getting back to something which is more normal, which I guess we haven't seen since probably pre-COVID, which was a long time ago.
Yeah, and, you know, my hat's off to the advice industry, because we've done a lot in that space, and it really goes to show the level of resilience we've had, you know, because in that time, if you look at the market share that brokers put in, advisors put into banks, it's probably grown at the same time where we've had to completely change our processes, do a huge amount in terms of education, and hold the client's hand through job loss, you know, job uncertainty, work uncertainty, a lot of interest-only requests, while the triple CFA is changing, and then, you know, and then suddenly sudden interest rate rises. So it is, I think the new normal is we're resilient enough now that we're pretty used to change, constant change, right? But I've got a feeling that it might look a lot more positive this year.
So something I've heard a little bit about recently is people have been questioning whether you know, banks are paying advisors enough for the work they do. Obviously, advisors have been doing a lot more work than in the past. What's your view on that?
Look, I'm kind of a bit of a free market kind of guy, right? So I think where it's set by the market. Look, if one bank or one fund or finance company wants to pay more, and they think that that still gives them a good quality advice process and also help them grow, then they're free to do that, right? If you're an advisor and you find you're in a smaller town, maybe, because again, it's based on volume, or you deal with clients that are more likely of having a decline, right? Because that is, again, a service that some advisors specialize in. Then charging a fee or thinking of some other ways to sort out your business is really your business. Remember, these suppliers, these lenders, these banks, they are businesses in their own right. So that would be my message.
Quite interesting when you think about it, because a house price is a lot higher in Auckland, that advisor's going to earn a lot more money than, say, an advisor in Rotorua, and they're doing the same amount of work. It sort of seems a little bit inequitable at times.
It does. But the thing is, we probably in Auckland have a lot to learn from those advisors in Rotorua, because it's how do you manage a high volume, high number of clients, right? And sometimes the level of service could be different, right? Like, I know in Auckland, the days, especially with these regulatory pressures and the costs have changed as well in all businesses, I don't hear about mortgage advisors driving to and fro people's homes, like the whole mobile days. Like, some of that has disappeared, right? you know, so I think overall people are coping, advisors are managing to cope, to find a way forward. But to be fair to the lenders as well, like how do you deal with that, right? Because you've got, you definitely, the margin is different to $1 million home loan than it is to a $100,000 home loan, right? And again, I reckon the free market has delivered some amazing things over time. But you know what? You know what, Phil? There's nothing stopping that Rotor or mortgage advisor competing with me in Auckland now, right? Because you could do a lot of remote work out there.
Yeah, that's a good point. It would be quite interesting to, you've given me an idea here to compare, you know, how an advisor in a provincial town operates compared to someone in a big metropolitan city like Christchurch or Auckland. It'd be quite interesting to compare businesses.
Well, you know what? There should be more awards based on actual efficiency than their sheer volume, right? Because it's funny that there are these awards out there now, and it's like, how much volume did you do? The end. Well, you're right. My hat's off. Even I was thinking the other day, I need to take a trip down to Blenheim and learn how they do things out there, right? They got a lot more to teach me than...
You could do a bit of wine tasting while you're there too.
Yeah. Well, I had a little bit of a break from drinking actually in the last year, but always keen to start again. I think that was my new resolution, to start drinking again this year, and I haven't acted on it yet.
Oh, well, one day. We're only in March. Well, nearly April. So, and the other sort of newsy thing going on at the moment is, you know, the new advisor group out of Australia, which is, I guess we're going to call it FAMNZ, but not quite sure the name yet. Well, what's your take on, you know, the group setting up, and is there a place for another player in the market?
Yeah, look, I'm also, full disclosure, I'm also the chair of the Member Advisory Committee for Financial Advice New Zealand. Bit of a mouthful, right?
Just call it the MAC.
Yeah, the MAC group, that's right. The chair of the MAC group. I actually reckon, look, there's a whole bunch of advisors out there that don't belong to any association, right? And never have, don't even know what they really offer. FAMNZ, I reckon, look, good luck to them. I think it's only good for the industry, actually. FAMNZ, from what I know of them, the Australian counterpart, have been quite good advocates for advisors in the past, especially for this particular topic when it comes to incentives and conflicts, because this is something that's not new, right? It's been going on in Australia. Look, I would say to advisors out there, look, belong to one or both. Yeah, you're chipping in to keep the industry on solid footing, right? Because we do need a collective voice at times.
And the Commerce Commission report is actually a good example of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Look, thank you, Hamish. There's some good stuff in there, and thank you for taking the time to talk to me and discuss some of the issues going on. So, again, thanks.
No, thanks, Phil. Oh, awesome. Nice talking to you.